chair and then I'll just
make the motions.
Since we've only got two of us.
Alright, was there do I have an agenda?
This is just
There we go.
And then Jared will be presenting.
Okay.
Once we call it.
Over on the board.
Here's Mrs. Funister.
Thank you, sir.
Alright. Alright, well, I will call the meeting to order. And first on the agenda, minutes from March 20th, 2023.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the March 20th, 2023 meeting.
How does this work? We need a second.
Mr. Robert? Chairman, I suggest this is will be the second. You'd say, I'll bring this up for a vote, and then you'll need to vote for there to be a quorum. So. Whether you actually say it in a second or not, Mr. Dover's made the motion, you can say there's no need to move for a second, we can move for a vote.
All right. No need for a second. We'll move to a vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. All right. What was the next item? Report on implementation of prior year's recommendations.
And Mr. Chairman, I did not have any notes from last year's meeting that we had any recommendations, so there are none. I believe that probably comes from the policy, paragraph 9, where it talks about the superintendent, city finance director, and a commissioner designated for this purpose to review and make recommendations regarding internal control policies and procedures to ensure the assets of RWU are protected from loss, theft, or misuse. I suppose after the presentation today, if you have any recommendations at the end of this, we can revisit that and maybe have some for next year.
Very good. No old business. New business. Administration investment policy.
Right, and I will note it. I will note that there are a couple of bullet points that were on this agenda last year that were not on here this year, or at least not in this meeting. One of those was a recommendation to approve a resolution designating authorized signatories for depositories. We actually did that at the last commission meeting, and then designation of banks and banking institutions. We will push that off to next month's meeting of this committee. We currently have an invitation for bid open now to try to solicit a few more banks to participate when we have funds to invest in CDs. We've got a list now that's approved with about six, I think, banks on it. So we have that open now to see if we can attract any more interest, and we plan to report back at your March meeting.
Very good.
So, to the administration of the investment policy, you've got a checklist in front of you there as well, but I'll go through the highlights, and I guess at the end you can make sure that I've covered everything. And this should look familiar. I tried to pull the same types of reports and documentation that you guys are used to seeing every year. And this is kind of a summary page of our different funds and where they're held. And you can just see in both in dollar amount and in allocation how these are spread out. I've got columns there for water and sewer, and combined, and I've added these helper columns as well to let you see the allocations of these across our interest-bearing checking accounts and CDs and trust account for access and impact fees, as well as our bond funds. You can see that all of those in total add up to total funds of just over $50 million. This is as of December 31st, 2023. It seems that despite having a June 30 fiscal year end, we normally report here on a calendar year basis. So that's how we've set this up. And I'll just point out there in big picture terms, the interest-bearing checking accounts in total are about 16% of these total funds, and CDs about 77%. For a little bit of comparison, a little context, last year we had it it's skewed this year a little bit more to the CDs, both in dollar amount and in percentage. Last year we had $33.4 million invested in CDs, making up about 73% of our total funds. So this year you can see that's almost $39 million and over 77%. So we are putting more of our total funds as a percentage and as a dollar amount into CDs now, and maybe a little bit later you'll see whether by design or just good fortune, that has that has kind of worked out for us.
I don't know if we want interest rates to go too much higher, but is there on those CDs and CDRs, do those automatically renew on their own, or do we have to monitor each of those? And
each time a CD matures, we make a decision about whether we want to cash it out or reinvest it. And if we choose to reinvest it, we'll put out an IFB each time to see if, you know, what's the best rate we can get at that time.
Very good.
This page also shows our minimum reserves as calculated as of December of 2022. So that's sort of the benchmark then for our performance, if you will, for 2023. And relative to that, you see a $25.7 million minimum reserves in total. That represents 51% of our $50 million that we have at our disposal right now. That's kind of how to read that. And then just jumping into some of the details here. These are our checking and money market interest-bearing accounts. We've got some at Arvest, some at First National. You can see the purpose for each account here, as well as the balance again at December 31st. The depreciation accounts, the meter deposit account held at First National Bank, those are restricted funds. The rest here should be unrestricted. This is a list of our CDs. It's a good number of them. In total, again, adding up to just under $39 million. You can see here just each of these rows represents an investment. At this point, I think some of these were originally invested as two-year CDs, but at this point we don't have any maturity dates exceeding 1 year.
Okay, so that was kind of my question on the, I mean, there's a lot of these things. Is there a lot of time involved in the administration of, who does this exactly? I mean, we got one coming up, you get a notice, the bank, you're 30 days out for maturity, what do you want to do? And is...
Yeah, I don't know that we normally hear from the bank, but we know they're coming up, and so I guess it is a little bit of administration to do, but you can see a number of these, you know, if you look here on the water, I mean, a number of those are going to mature. I guess I was looking at the purchase date, but a number of these will mature on the same date, November 14, 2024. So, you know, that's five or six right there that you can knock out and at one time. But they're designed to be laddered throughout the year. So for liquidity purposes, as needed, we have access to funds.
Yeah, by all means.
And it's true that both last month and this month we are electing to cash out a couple of the CDs on the sewer side, just because it, in our estimation, it seems prudent to have that cash available right now. So it's kind of nice to have some maturing, you know, pretty regularly, just to give you the flexibility.
And then we meet once a month to go over our plan for the next 12 months or 18 months, so that we can structure this ladder to correspond with our cash flows.
Very good.
And I've got a note at the bottom here that just says our investments, as reported on our December 31st balance sheet, didn't tie exactly to the bank statements. That's some cleanup that we found we needed. And we had an overstatement on the water side of about $26,000 and a small understatement on the sewer side. We posted a January 1 correcting entry to reflect those needed adjustments. So if you go back to the December financials, that it won't exactly tie to that, and that's because this schedule shows what the December financials should have shown. Right. Our impact and access accounts at Simmons, bond accounts at Regions. This is just an overall summary again of our restricted and unrestricted funds. Maybe the thing to point out here is if you look at that investments in CDs line for water, you can see that a portion of those are restricted funds. They're for meter deposits. I think that's in two different CDs. And then over here for depreciation, there's $2.5 million restricted for that purpose. On the sewer side, all of it is unrestricted funds invested in CDs. Again, it totals up to about $50 million. Here we just, I just thought I'd give you a little bit of extra insight just into the historical allocations of these different funds. So if you look at the date on the top here, I just went back a few years. This is funds as of December 31st, 2020. And what I'll kind of point out is just kind of look at the relationship between the interest-bearing checking accounts and the CDs. You can see on water and sewer, 29% and 66% respectively. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And then on sewer, 22 and 67. And then as I go to the next year, it's similar, 25 and 69 on water, skews a little more towards CDs on the sewer, with 16 in checking and 76 in CDs. If I go up another year, it's kind of back to that 20 or 25% benchmark in interest-bearing checking accounts and two-thirds to three-quarters in CDs. Then you get to where we are now, December 31st, 2023, and you look at what's in CDs right now on the sewer side and what's in interest-bearing checking accounts. And it's skewed pretty heavily to CDs, maybe a little bit more than we'd ideally be comfortable with, but that's why we elect the option to cash out some of those CDs as they mature to kind of get back to a little bit more of where we're comfortable with, where we're familiar with in terms of having maybe 20 to 25% in our checking account and about two-thirds or so in CDs.
What's the interest-bearing checking accounts paying right now, interest?
2.8 and so, and 1 and or 1, right? So the ones at First National are at 1 and the ones at Arvest are at 2.8. So we'll look at that as well, and that's kind of this next sheet, which is the interest income performance for the year. And you can see those rates there. Again, at Arvest, 2.85. These are rates as at the end of the year, 2.85, and then for First National, most of them are at 1. $185,000 worth of interest income in those checking and money market accounts. Simmons access impact fees, $63,000. some minor fees associated with that. I bumped down here to the bond accounts. You can see a total of $58,000 of interest income between what we have in the water and sewer accounts there. We're just parking money there, in anticipation of paying off or paying our debt service semi-annually. But then if I come back up to certificates of deposit here, this is the real story, right, for 2023. $1.4 million of interest income at an average interest rate at year end of about 5%. So for reference, if you come down here and you look at the notes that we've penciled in, Finance reported to this committee last year, at the end of 2022, interest income of $338,000. The year before that, it was $130,000. If you look at our audited financials, June 30, 2022, we were at $119. June 30, 2023, we were at $891. So mid-year of last year, you're starting to see, right, we're going from year-end at 2022 $337,000 for the last 12 months to almost $900,000 for the last 12 months. And now, into this 12 months, $1.7 million. And the difference here, again, is an average interest rate on our CDs of 5% compared to 2022, it was under 2%. 2021, it was 0.25%. So
yeah,
if there was ever an okay time to be a little more heavily skewed in CDs than what we're than what we're used to, it's been an okay time for that.
It's just unfortunate that the cost of construction has gone up more than the interest rates have.
There's an other side to that coin, I guess. But
very good.
And the other thing that we want to talk about, we need to talk about here is a determination of minimum reserve amounts. This is an exhibit to our RWU investment policy, and as such, we'll need a recommendation from this committee to the commission to approve a modification of the investment policy. This exhibit A being the difference from the current policy. So this page shows you the prior year minimum reserves on that right-hand side column, as well as the proposed minimum reserves for 2024. The formula is just set by our investment policy, so it's pretty easy to plug these numbers in. It's our prior year operating expenses from our FY23 audited financials, plus our upcoming debt service for the next fiscal year. That gives us our minimum reserves. You can see it's $14,459,000 for water. And we back out depreciation from our audited financials to get to a minimum short-term reserves of $11,268,000 for water. And those numbers on the sewer side are $14,856,000 and $9,420,000. For minimum short-term reserves. And on these next couple of pages there, you just kind of see the breakout of how we've allocated our current funds to those minimum short-term reserves. Historically, we've shown the restricted funds and whatever we need from unrestricted funds to kind of come up with this minimum short-term reserves number, and then anything beyond that we see down here at the end of the page for other short-term reserves. So again, right now, as of December 31st, 2023, we've got total reserves of $23.9 million. Less the minimum proposed reserves of $14.5 million, it shows that we've got $9.5 million of reserves above the minimum in the water fund. And then looking at sewer, it's $26.4 million reserves right now. Minimum reserves of 14.9, leaving you with 11.5 reserves above minimum.
Formula has not changed, though.
Formula has not changed. It's updated the numbers.
Very good.
Yeah, I'd make a motion.
These numbers on that left column are what we'll be recommending to you.
Okay.
I'd make
a motion from Brent. I would like to bring it to a vote. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Thank you. What else we got? All right. Well, I will adjourn.
Thank you, Jerry.